Welcome to another episode of the Sisters in Christ podcast. Friends, today's conversation on a topic that touches every single one of us, financial security. In a world where costs rise faster than incomes, where unexpected bills seem to come out of nowhere, and where the future can often feel uncertain, our hearts naturally long for stability and security. But here's the truth. Real security is never found in a paycheck, a savings account, or an investment portfolio. It is found in God alone. Scripture reminds us in Matthew 6:33 to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Today, we are going to step back from the noise of financial fear and refocus on what God says about security and provision. Because if our hearts are anchored in him, no storm of life can shake our foundation. It's that time now. Get your coffee, your tea, your water, whatever your favorite drink may be, and join Pam and I as we explore more of the pursuit of financial security. So Pam, welcome again.
Thank you, Tamara.
It's good to be back to talk about something that is gripping not only families, churches, communities, our nation, and even the world, this post-COVID financial fear. Pam, in what ways do we sometimes place more trust in money than in God? And how can we guard against this?
You know, this is an interesting question, Tamara, when I think about it. We all, I think, generally want to earn income for a better life.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that. You work hard, get money to do the things that you feel your family needs and to get ahead. And the Bible says money answereth all things. God talks about how the cattle on the thousand hill belong to him. So there's nothing wrong with money, right? But then sometimes in a subtle way, we can put our trust and our hope in money rather than God. We may be on a job and feel that I have to be here. I'm making this money. This is a good job. And I have to be here in order for me to take care of myself and my family. Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem like a difficult statement to believe or to make, hey, but then our trust could be in that job and the income that we are getting as opposed to relying and trusting on God. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5, and it sums it up for me. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. Cast but at a glance at riches, and they are gone. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. Wealth can sprout like wings. It says, do not wear yourself out to get rich. See this? This passage of scripture reminds me that wealth is fleeting.
Yes.
If you're putting your trust in your bank account, right? You have $100,000 in your bank account. Yeah, it looks good. But you can have a medical issue that wipes that completely out.
Yes.
Something can happen that you have to go in there and you have to use all of it and you need more. When it's gone, who do you put your trust in? And that's why God is saying to us via this verse, do not put your trust in wealth because it's fleeting. It can vanish quickly
Yes. And a lot of times when, you know, you talk about the job and being able to provide for your family. And sometimes we even put our work ahead of service to the church, mm-hmm. in our church, missing church services as believers. Mm-hmm. We tend to work more towards what we can see, getting a home, getting a car, mm-hmm. and those physical things. And the driving force behind it is I need money to acquire these things. And therefore, I have to work harder, or I have to put in more. I need this promotion. I need to do this and I need to do that. Without first understanding that all of these things come from God anyway. Because if we look at the book of Job, everything Job had, the Lord blessed him with it. And not only did he bless him with it, he safeguarded it.
Yeah.
He safeguarded it. So when the trial came, Satan, in his conversation with God, said, haven't you put a hedge around everything mm-hmm. that he has? Mm-hmm. So the multitude of things that Job had was given to him by God and was protected by God.
Yes.
And so we have to, in some ways, be reminded that, you know, yes, God gave me the strength to work. He gave me the mind mm-hmm. to be able to have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And it's because of his sustaining grace I'm able to get mm-hmm. and receive. Mm-hmm. And so first, I need to be reminded of that, that it is him, right. Seeking him first. Right. Like the first scripture we said in Matthew mm-hmm. 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yeah. And all of these things will be added unto you. And so getting the right mindset and prioritizing our relationship with the Lord, our service to him, and our obedience to him, he, by his Holy Spirit's help, will give us what we need to be able to get the things that we need in this life to sustain us. Mm-hmm. And I believe too, Pam, all of us have a lot in life.
Yeah.
And that lot may be, some may have very much,
yeah.
and some may have.
He gives us enough. And that's what trusting him does. I don't envy you, compare myself to you, or begrudge you for what you have. He gave you sufficient for what he has called you for, and he has done the same to me. We just need to put our trust in him. If our attitude, our happiness, our joy goes up and down depending on what's in our bank account, it's not of God.
We're in trouble.
We are in trouble. You know, studying this topic reminded me about when I used to do studies on dating and relationship. So when I was much younger, I was
decades ago.
You just celebrated a birthday. No, so
many decades ago.
Many decades ago, I would be asked as a young Christian to speak to people about dating. And so doing the research, reading books and reading the scriptures, I always thought that I would get a book that, you know, tell you, okay, how you should act, what you should be looking at. And the Christian books tomorrow always started out with relationship mm-hmm. with God. Mm-hmm. And I used to get frustrated. I'm like, I'm trying to find out, okay, you know, what should I do? Where should I go to, you know, to find people to date? But it will always tell you to spend time with God. And that's how this topic was for me. Like, how do you guard against putting things, the gifts, ahead of the giver.
Right.
How do you guard against that? The first thing is you have to do daily surrender to God. Daily. Begin each day with acknowledging God as your provider.
Yeah.
Right? He is the one who has blessed you with everything. We are just stewards tomorrow.
Yes.
We are just managers of what he has given us. And I don't know if you have seen, but I have never seen, and I actually just went to a funeral service for a cousin yesterday. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any cars in the coffin?
No.
Do you see any houses in the coffin?
No.
Do you see any money in the coffin?
No.
No. The same way we came into this world, we are going the exact way.
Naked I came into the world and naked so I will come
If you
come
can't
out.
Take it, then why are you killing out yourself to get it? When you sacrifice family relationships, you sacrifice your relationship with God to get it. No, that's not the way. And we're talking to followers of Christ. We're talking to Christians. To guard ourselves against that, we have to first acknowledge Him. God, I thank You because it is because of You that I have what I have. Not by my works, not by my strength, not by my cleverness or my intellect. It is because of You, God, that I have what I have. And then we have to practice gratitude to regularly thank Him. See, if we think we did it ourselves, this is because of me. Maybe remember Nebuchadnezzar? I built this. Me, pride.
Pride kicks in.
Pride. We got to practice gratitude. Thank Him for all that You have, acknowledging that this is because of Him and it is not me.
And guarding against misplaced trust in money comes through prayer and accountability. Some of us, we don't like that word accountability because we think we're in and of ourselves. In a marriage, you may have a very conservative spouse and a spender. And when that conservative spouse approached the spender and said, now let's talk about the budget and you have to give an account, you may be offended. But that is not the right way or the right approach for you to look at how you're going to manage your resources in a partnership. So accountability is very important, and keeping an eternal mindset because the houses, the cars, the jobs,
they're temporal.
They're temporal.
They're okay.
They're temporal.
They're okay.
Even if you're on a job for 30, 40 years, at some point, that job is not going to be what it used to be. When you first entered the job at, say, 20, 30, you might have had one type of experience. And then you, as you get older, you have another type of experience. But then there's a time when there's, the sunset is going to come on that job. And that means it's temporal. You know, the word says to everything there is a season. And to every purpose, there's a time. So we can't set our hearts on a house or a car or a status or anything like that, because things can change quickly. And when they shift and they change, we become, some people lose their minds.
Because all of their hope, everything was wrapped up into that thing that you worked so hard for. You know, imagine the person working so hard, making all these sacrifices to get a house, only to have something happen to it, or maybe they die and never even enjoyed it.
And you know what the Bible says? If you die and leave your wealth, you don't know who's going to come after it and be ruler over it, whether they will be a fool or whether they will be wise.
And that's why it's so important to use what God has blessed you with for His glory.
Oh, yes.
And for His honor. And to also, I think, another point to God against putting these things ahead of God is to be generous.
Yes.
God blessed us, Tamara, to be a blessing.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. He blessed us to be a blessing.
And to give in a lot of ways without looking for anything
in return. Because it's a faith walk, you know. If you say, well, oh, I can't help that person because if I take this, what I have, and help that person, then what's going to happen to me? Remember the story with Elijah and the widow?
Her last.
And you know, it was a test.
It
was a test.
And after she gave, she received more than enough.
And then when I think about it, maybe I'm thinking about it wrong, but to me, just hindsight, that was an easy test. I am not after this anyhow. So if I
get going.
See, it's harder when you have something, right? And you're like, okay, if I give you this, then I have less. But I don't have anything anyhow.
Yeah.
Right? So, okay, take this. And if it doesn't work, then I was going anyhow. But she gave him a last and she never ran out.
You know something, Pam? I'm just thinking, there's something in our hearts, in this flesh, that wants to hold on and does not want to give. And I remember I was asked to do something for an institution, a non-for-profit. And as I went to get it, something just hit my heart. And it wasn't a godly thought. Mm-hmm. It was very selfish. Mm-hmm. And it struck me that I needed to preserve what I have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as I began to run that through my spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit was like, you know, you're doing the will of the Lord. If this didn't come to your path, you would have never had an opportunity to be a blessing to this particular institution. And so and that hit me because I was trying to preserve whatever little I had.
Human nature.
And so I went and I got the items and I dropped them off and so forth.
It was a faith walk, Tamara.
It was.
Because what you did then is you say, no, I'm not trusting me for my source. I'm trusting God.
Right.
So God, I'm giving this and you seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all these things that you desire, all of it
will be added.
Will be added.
And it just shows to you that while you want to do good, mm-hmm. you know, Paul said, when I will to do good, mm-hmm. evil is always present. Mm-hmm. So I was on my way to get it, but the thought struck me.
And I hold on to this.
Right. And, you know, and so I recognized what it was. And thankfully, the Holy Spirit helped me mm-hmm. to, you know, follow through with what I had intended to do in the first place. So even in giving, the enemy is at work to stop you from advancing God's kingdom here on earth.
Because you know why? Generosity breaks the power of greed.
That's it right there.
And it reminds us that our source is spiritual God, not ourselves.
Yes. And greed is of the devil.
Gift of the devil. Can't ever get enough.
His desire for you. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He thought to himself, I will build bigger barns. Mm-hmm. Now you
rather
have.
Than he be generous, I'm going to break it down and build.
You know something? I need to have more space so I can add to my collection.
You fool.
Thou fool. Mm-hmm. Your soul is required of you. What could you do?
Yeah.
So God help us. God mm-hmm. help us in our journey. Pam, how does remembering God's past provision build our confidence for today's financial needs?
You know, I think back on when I went to university. I don't know where I got that faith from. It's like, I don't know where. I mean, I accepted Christ at a young age, right? But Tamara, that was some faith that I don't know where I got it from. I did everything I needed to do, even down to, you know, when the university asks you for your parents to give a financial reference.
Yeah.
My parents didn't have the means to give a financial reference. Yeah. I got a cousin. I said, okay, I need you to send this letter to say you would support me. I don't know where I got that faith from. But Tamara, I went off to university mm-hmm. to Canada for 3 years. No loan. My parents didn't have to mortgage anything to send me off to school.
Thank God.
And I look back and it was only God.
Yes.
And so when I'm going through something, I look back and I say, God, if you did it for me then, you could do it for me now. So when we take the time to remember how God has provided in the past, mm-hmm. the doors he has opened, the needs that he met, it strengthens our faith.
Yes.
For today.
What I like too is in church life, you know, you have opportunities through fellowships and prayer times to hear testimonies from others. And you may be going through a situation. And that's why it's so important to stay in the fellowship mm-hmm. of other believers. Mm-hmm. And they give their testimony of how God provided. And that resonates with your spirit. And it encourages you to believe and trust God that if you could do it for sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, Lord, surely you're no respecter of persons. Mm-hmm. You can do it for me.
You know, I used to like that time back in church, testimony time. You used to have a service, you do praise and worship, and it's just testimony. I went to a church way back in the day when I was a little girl. And every time we would have vacation Bible school, there will always be persons from overseas that came to help us.
I remember.
And when they spoke,
they always have a it's like their life was like they talk about how God transformed them. We too have
testimony.
Because somebody is sitting there hurting, thinking that they are the only ones that are going through this issue. But you've been through it.
That's right.
And God brought you out, and you can be an encouragement to that person sitting right there. Don't even know that they need your testimony. I think a lot of times with us, we are ashamed.
Pride.
We don't know that there's power in what you have been through. I'm not saying to tell people if you're going through it now, it may not be a good point because you may not have been delivered from it and you're still hurting. It's still raw.
Yeah.
But man, when God bring you through, you need to tell it on the mountaintop because somebody need that word. Philippians 4 verse 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches.
You sure didn't say some of our needs?
And you know, I like it. My God.
Personal. It's personal.
He is my God. He's your God. Yes. But he's my God. Yes. He will supply all of your needs according to his riches.
Needs, God not wants.
God is rich and he is wealthy and he is our Father. Why are we stressing? Why are we worrying when we can go to him to provide for our needs and wants?
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So thanking God and sharing what he has done in your life is an important part, not just for you, but for others. So they too may come to know and believe and trust that the God who delivered you and helped you through your financial difficulties can also help them. Pam, what does it look like in your life to practice faithful stewardship with the resources God has entrusted to you?
Stewardship for me is recognizing that everything that I have, my income, my time, my skill, my opportunities, everything that I have ultimately belongs to God. When I first got my car, and I still do it every so often, and I'll be driving and I say, God, thank you. Thank you, I have a car, God, that I can go where I need to go. Thank you, God, I have a car. Thank you. That's what stewardship for me. Everything that I have, doesn't matter what it is. So I don't want people to look at me and say, oh, she got everything that I have. Ultimately, it's because of God.
Yes. When we thought, when we just going back to Job again and in the conversation that Satan was having with God, God told him you could touch all these things, but don't touch his life, you know? And like Job, his children, his servants, his cattle, his sheep, everything, you know, the enemy attacked. And in that crisis, Job turned to God. He had lost, and he was obviously a good steward of what God had entrusted him with because it multiplied.
Yeah. But you know what he went through? You can imagine what he went through.
Yes.
You know, today, you had all of that and all of it gone. Yeah, he didn't love the Lord. He wasn't serving.
But that's what people would. Yes. And I think that's a lot of time, the shame, like you mentioned before, why people don't get help in their financial struggles because they're looked upon as being not good stewards when naturally famine comes. There are times when things are overwhelming for you. You have incidences where a spouse may lose a job and you're on one income. And so things change. And so we need to know how to get the help we need and help in budgeting, in our giving,
tithing,
and we shouldn't stop giving or tithing because things have gotten a little tighter. There was a scripture, I think it was early in Genesis, where it was a famine and they still planted. They still put the seed in because the farmer doesn't, who's looking for rain, but doesn't plant the seed. When the rain does come, there's no harvest for them.
Exactly.
So we still need to be obedient to the word of God in our giving and our tithing and our generosity. Mm-hmm. And being good stewards mean I don't just blow everything I have on my personal wants. Right?
Yeah. You know, in the Bible, there is more scriptures about money, Tamara, than prayer.
Yeah.
Isn't that powerful? The Bible said, where your treasures are,
there your heart is
yes. also. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible. It's in Luke chapter 16, verses 10 and 11. I'll just read verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in that which is much. And he that is unjust in that which is least is unjust in that which is much. All that is saying, Tamara, is that you complaining about, oh, I don't have enough income. I'm not making enough money. So I cannot save. I cannot budget. No, that's not your problem. You're not faithful.
Yes.
So God said, if you have a little and you are faithful, when he blesses you with the much, you will also be faithful. And that's what a good steward does.
Yes.
He manages properly when he has little so that when God opened the windows of heaven and pour down blessings on him, he will also be a good manager
of
that big blessing.
That's right. Every spending decision is a spiritual decision.
Yes. Yes.
Stewardship is managing God's money God's way, not our way.
Not our way.
So we need to shift our perspective from how much do I have to Lord, how do you want me to use what you have given me? Thank you for this conversation today, Pam. God is good.
God is awesome.
And I pray it's been a blessing to our listeners. Pam, can you close us in prayer, please?
Sure. Most gracious and heavenly Father, God, we thank you today for reminding us that our true security is not in money, possessions, or even the plans we make, but Father, in you and you alone. Lord, we confess that too often we have leaned on our own understanding, looking to wealth or work for peace instead of trusting in your unfailing hand. Father, forgive us and draw us closer to your heart. Thank you, Father, for being our Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, and for promising that you will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. Father, we lift up every listener today who may be feeling anxious or uncertain about their finances. God, let your peace guard their hearts and mind. Teach us, Father, to seek first your kingdom, to walk in faithful stewardship, and to rest in the assurance, God, that you hold our future. Father, we place our trust fully in you today. And Lord, knowing that with you, we will never be forsaken. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen.